everybody. Welcome to the House of Learned Minds. We always will receive a double helping of justice and truth. Come on in, sheesh. So glad to have you with us on this Flashback Friday. We're going to have a good show tonight. I didn't announce the show. I wanted it to be a surprise. The numbers have gone up again. That's good. Good to hear that and see that. That the chart is working once more to show where we stand, because I think that they really don't want us to know our true numbers. And I hear other people feel the same way also. But it's gone way up the chart again. We have good shows here. We give out the best information that really should cost, when I say so, I'm not lying, millions of dollars. Big companies and governments and so forth, an individual will pay millions of dollars for that type of information, especially somebody that's right almost 100% of the time. He can almost name his price. You get it for free and you won't accept it. You'll do everything else but listen for an hour or even tape it. Listen in your car or whatever. You're on the toilet and get some information to help you. But we are here to help you, and we're going to have a good show tonight. The show is called Six. And you'll get some idea of what we're talking about once we get into the meat of the program. Of course, you know Six, if you know the greatest Six that ever was, as far as we know of, Ashish. But many of you don't, or Perkin. We're going to have, like I said, a good show, but first we're going to get into preliminaries. We're glad that they're finding more survivors in the Syrian and Turkey earthquake. And the problems that I told you they were going to go through with, that's what they went through with and going through with. The logistics that should have been there and should have already been intact should not have to beg for be able to pass over in the Syrian lines and bring humanitarian help, the Red Cross, or the United States Special Forces, or any other people, Doctors Without Borders and so forth. But when you live a life, a pauper life, I see tonight where I think Biden's administration took out or someone, a terrorist, a supposed terrorist. Why? All the things going on now, why just not just give peace a chance and forget about it? But they're not doing that. So we're here to give you information that, as I said, these other people are willing to pay big money for. And I hear and see that people are searching for Larry Lamonts. I don't know why they don't hook up through the program or through email, regular email, because the program has emails, and let us know that you want to contact us or our Facebook page. We won't be answering our Twitter page. And since I stopped answering the Twitter page, almost all the nudity have gone out, which shows me that that was probably an entrapment. They tried to entrap me in the first place, but I wasn't going to fall for it. With underage girls and so forth, they got one guy who's an actor or something in entertainment, and he allegedly went to a motel to meet a 13-year-old girl. Oh, heck to the no. And not that big of a fool. These guys think that they can get over on somebody. They always think they're smart. And I look at the people on the internet, like I was telling you about the man there with the leaf blower on Monday, blowing the wigs of women, which he didn't know. A white man blowing black women's wigs off. Well, I saw one yesterday, supposedly on Facebook. White man went in with a leaf blower, and I telling you the race. One guy said, well, why does it matter what race he is? Why do you think it mattered? It's demographics, fool. If black men is not doing it, if Chinese men are not doing it, if Aborigine men from Australia not doing it, then you just tell it like it is, it's white men. Get your mess together. Don't worry about me trying to raise me. Raise your own self. He put flour into a leaf blower. His wife in the bathroom on the toilet. He looking at the camera, put a finger up, like shoes, like, who's going to make a sound? Nobody there but your own fool self or somebody holding the camera. Going to the bathroom, open the door. She's on the toilet. And then he sprays her with the flour in the leaf blower. Nothing funny about it. I see zero funny. If everybody else on the planet see that it's hilarious, me, I'm rolling my eyes and sucking my teeth. I don't want you to do that to me. I don't want you to do that to my daughter or to my mother or to my wife. Don't get it twisted. I just got through seeing tonight one young man, a high yellow guy. He's a YouTuber, and he got some other people up. And they go into the mall, and supposedly with a woman that's scantily dressed in hot pants, and they got it worked up that he's supposed to slap her on the backside, and then the woman supposed to say, why you hit me? Why you hit me? Why you touch me? So the stranger think that she was assaulted. What I told you was going to happen, happened. He did that to one guy, and the guy was trying to protect the woman, which he should have done. And he wants to be smart mouth and flip mouth and trying to, the young guy that ain't got nothing, ain't even got no meat on his bones to fight to protect himself with his foolish looking self. He gonna bristle up at the guy. Well, the guy grabbed him and kept going for his waist. And eventually, he would pull out a pistol. Did I tell you, you give your life away acting a fool? You better listen to Mr. Larry. Like mother say, don't be a fool all your life. Sheesh. Ain't no way I would have been involved in a situation like that. Matter of fact, they should be banned from the mall altogether. Or the shopping center. I would be really surprised if they received a blessing at the shopping center to do pranks like that. Show attacks on women. And he was attacked by other men trying to protect women. And they had to say, look, they're the camera. Then he tried to say, you're in trouble now. He and the woman both went up to another man. You slapped me. You on the bus? He said, no, I didn't. It was that guy there, which they were in a cahoot. They both then started pushing this guy in the chest. No, it's you. Which is an assault if you don't know, fool. You could go to jail just for putting your hand on his chest and pushing him. I try to give you information. You're not going to get nowhere else before you be laying up on a slab of in the morgue or under the undertaker shop. Listening to some fool telling you it's funny. That's what we're going to work on tonight, some of the things with our program tonight. But I just thought I had to say that. Then also, mouth banging. Facebook is killing it by sending me a lot of mouth bangers now. And now everybody is enthralled with that since I reported it and major news sources have reported it. Some of them are good programs. And what other people eat in different sections of the world are just like bizarre foods. You know, the man with eat the bizarre foods? Andrew Zimmerman. You know, well, it's the same thing with the genuine people that eats these things. They're not there just to make a video. They eat it and like it. And if they can make a dollar out of it, you watch them eating rat. Eating cobra meat and drinking blood of the snake. eating frog or whatever, they don't care. Eat, look, because they're going to be smacking their lips and still getting fat and getting rich off your money. That's what a YouTuber need to do. They're not hurting anybody. Maybe hurting frogs and snakes and rats and so forth, but they're not hurting people out in the street trying to get a laugh. I never care for pranks. This one show, they are pranks every day. Mukbanger, I love the family, black family, but it's always something that's going on and loud hollering and. At the end, oh, we're pranking you. Okay. I think that they know that we're being pranked by now. If you prank every show, quite obviously, they know that it's a prank. But it's good acting. Some of the best acting ever. We got some things going on now. I hope there's a business deal for some of these people that needs help. The African children that they showed over there with no shoes on and so forth, they're doing a split screen now, showing them with no shoes, and then show them with a school uniform on, just as I told you. Mr. Larry's going to tell you the truth. I don't care who else, go against me. Hey, that's fine. Like I told you about the man the other day, the machinist in the car. The man didn't need any money. He didn't need you to buy him a car if you're making $1,000 a week. Mind your business. But I guess it's your business if you want to give your children's money or your wife's money or the bill collector's money to make you feel good, even your church money, to somebody who's just being bullied by a woman. That ain't none of your business. That's it for him, the police, and the marriage counselor. Hello? That is the advice I would give. Now, how much money would have been saved there? How much was raised? Oh, well, we know hundreds of thousands of dollars. And a free car. But the situation is that people will make a fool of you. Like I said, these young folks with cameras now. Cell phones. And when I told them you need to get you a digital camera, a camcorder or something, or you can make quality films. Do just like Steven Spielberg when he's talking about his new film. You could be the same way. But you walking around trying to film some girls in the street fighting over some boy that don't mean nothing, a drunk. And the titties out, and you think that's the greatest thing in the world, and you fat and slouchy looking. You don't even look like you should have a press card around your neck. You will not surely get to the White House to be on in the press club or press service. But you think you're a great reporter. Somebody have bull messed you into thinking that. Sheesh. So now we're looking at all the storms going around the area here. I keep looking out the window. I don't see any snow, any rain, any sleet that they're talking about. I don't know. Maybe it's damp. It's brown where I'm seeing. So I don't know if it's anything hit it or not. I don't care. I'm in where it's warm. I plan to stay in here. I don't plan to be going out there. There's nothing out there I want. Sheesh. Maybe something you want, but it's nothing that Mr. Larry wants. We're going to get into the six, what actual meaning by the six. Everything that we have said on this program, other people have taken up afterwards. I mean, every country in the world, every politician, every professor, every scientist, we deal with first on the House of Larry Lamont's. Well, you always get a double help with the justice and truth, for sheesh. If you want to be a patron of the House of Larry Lamont, you can subscribe. Hit that subscribe button. You can give whatever you like to donate. We know you can donate to somebody who don't need a car, get him a new car. You can at least give me a few pennies to get a new microphone. I'll pay a little bit on this electric bill. Sheesh. That makes more sense. I'm trying to keep you and your children alive. You see, right now, if you got a child just ignorant as that high yellow kid running around there trying to be funny and got some girl following him, oh, that could be my daughter. You think you're a great actress? I don't know how much you were paid. The question should have been, how much was she paid to do such a thing? Did he pay her? Or did he give you an IOU? When I make it, then I'm going to remember you and pay you. You're going to be my partner. So you did all that, including risk your life on a maybe, instead of knowing what is a surety. Also, now they're talking about the UFOs and things floating around in the skies and in the heavens. The balloons. It's a balloon. Yes, it's a balloon, folks. Or so they say. But I'm wondering, if they think that it's a balloon, since when can't a jet catch up with a doggone balloon? And if you can, it's going to make that balloon fly all over the world, you know, with this turbulence and so forth. That ain't going to kick up the wake that it's going to make when it leaves it behind and probably burn it up from the afterburners. So let them tell you that octagon and the cylinder are simply balloons. Could have been set up by a university. Could have been set up by a government. Could have been set up by the Chinese. But it doesn't make sense, folksies, to think that they cannot tell you if it 100% was a balloon or not, or a UFO. So they keep telling you, well, it's a UFO. Could they have shot down E.T.? Come in and bring gifts, you know, like the day the earth stood still, the guy coming, he said, I brought you a gift and this was supposed to cure all your ills, cure cancer and hunger and end all wars and so forth like this, but you decided to shoot me? I have to answer for you. I told you that before. I'm going to give you the answer. Before the balloon, the Susquehanna, but we weren't seeing these numbers. And I felt, okay, I'm going to sit down and record and give you private information that should be worth millions of dollars for you for free. For free? No. Even if I charge you with it, how many of you are willing to pay to hear that information? We're probably going to have an opportunity to see that. Because, like I told you before, some of the things you see, I'm going to give you one example. They were talking about the Loch Ness Monster. And they were talking about the penis and so forth I told you about the other day. Well, they said that a man on his dying deathbed said that he used a toy submarine back in 1937 to film the Loch Ness Monster. Now, folks, if you're a big enough fool to believe that they had toy submarines back in 1930, but damn, they didn't even have real ones for the military, you're a bigger fool than a lot of these con men think you are. And hear every day how the con men are trying to trick you out your money. And other things too. And if you look at how large that image was in the water, how big that it had to be to reflect that it's that type of height. And a toy submarine surely was not going to be able to pull a head of an animal through the water that speed. That's just physics. I think the guy wanted on his deathbed to make a fool out the folk. And he didn't show anybody the toy submarine. He didn't even show the box the toy submarine came in. He didn't even show the workshop if he made it like Geppetto himself. If he was up there like the Santa Claus elves and in the middle of the night and made the doggone thing. He showed nothing, just his word. And they said, well, he said he did it, so he must have done it. But everything I say, I'm a liar. I'm a fool. And got evidence. Sheesh. So that is an example that I say, you listen to Mr. Larry, he would give you information that you could say, no, there was no a toy submarine. Come again. They don't even have a toy submarine now that could do what that did. Do you think that I'm a liar? Go Google and see if you can get a toy submarine like that. You can get private submarines that they're going to sell you for hundreds of thousands of dollars and millions of dollars. In today's money, that money would be worth millions of dollars back then. Do you think he could afford that, this little guy living in a shack? Use your head. Now, if the military or governments allow somebody to make a fool of them to tell them that that balloon up there floating around that they can't catch, that as soon as they get to try to get up to it, it takes off and go faster, go higher, or go lower, or go into the water, that it's a gremlin. It's a UFO, folks. I'm going to have an opportunity to give you an information on more things, and it's going to open your eyes. You're going to say, dang, Mr. Larry been through some things. He's seen some things. He knows some things. That's one reason why I try to shut my mouth. You're talking about Black History Month and so forth. They wanted to do away with me, and I told you about that. Now they want to do away like Governor DeSantis in Florida. He wants to do away with Afro-American history. Altogether, like everybody said, he don't care about Latino history or Chinese history. He don't care about Polish history, American. He cares about Black American history because it contains Larry DeMons. They more afraid of me than anybody. They're not even afraid about Obama. Like they're afraid of me. Anytime they want to bother a little old man like me who is poor and don't have nothing, shoes run over, but they still scared of me. Just think if I come out and break out in my suits like I used to, step out of my fine car like I used to, with a pocket full of money, oh, what they gonna do then? They burnt my house down, all my pictures and records and try to do that. And they started doing that even when I was in school. And I'm wondering, you remember in the back of the yearbook, the senior should tell you the activities, extracurricular activities. I'm the only one that they didn't tell what I did. Now, you remember I told you that I was on the student senate. You remember I told you that I was on the board of education. You remember I told you I was on the board of trustees for the college. You remember I told you I'd done numerous things in the school. I helped put down even riots. Sheesh. I had to put in elevators while I was there and do other things, because of people with handicap that couldn't, it's a two-floor institution. Did the same thing at the college. They only had my name. I said, how could they mistake me? I'm the number one man. Not saying that I thought of more than anybody, but I knew what I had accomplished. I had, my resume was over 26 pages. They didn't have a sentence. And I could tell something was wrong then, that they wanted to erase me from history. Erase me from the history of that institution, that this N-word didn't come here at that time, and he didn't do the things that he said, or some people said he did. There's no record of it. That's why when, you remember, I told you I was sitting on the bench at the college eating a donut and drinking a hot chocolate and trying to get ready for class, and a woman from the library said, can I see you for a minute? Went in there, started talking and trying to
make a fool of me. And I said, okay. I said, can I show you something? And I went to the archives because I've been there before. I knew what it was. I started pulling out papers, school newspapers, and other things like that. Press releases from the newspapers and tapes from radio programs. I said, now, who does that look like?
Look like you.
I said, look at the name. Whose name is that?
Your name.
I just turned right around, went back with my donut and my hot chocolate and sat back down and started minding my business. Well, again, before they kicked me out. Trying to keep information out in the hands of black people to support people who you should be supporting. You know, they said, no, support this nutcase over here. Like this guy, Santos, that tell you that he's everything under the sun and did everything under the sun, and there's zero evidence of it. Then he said, well, I do make up things and embellish things. I don't have to embellish anything. I'm a hell of a man. Always have been. Oh, sheesh. And the reason why I'm telling you these things, because it's the measure of six that we're going to get into. But I run into hot water where even when I went to, I remember years ago, I went to the newspaper and looked at the files they had on me, and I didn't know they had that much information on me. The press clippings and all this. That's a good gracious life. You would have thought I was the president of the United States or something. As many files and so forth. Not bad things. Awards I won. And picture appeared in the paper. When I was in a play or something, picture appeared in the paper. When I gave a speech, a picture appeared in the paper. I went back later on, zero. They wanted to, and they tried to, and do everything they can, including assassinate me. I looked at the program last night about Ben Crump on Netflix. And then I looked at the one about the six, Attorney Crump, Honorable Attorney Crump, and what they did to people like Medgar Evers, and what they did to people like Dr. King and Malcolm X, John Kennedy and Robert Kennedy, Abraham Lincoln. I'm the only one to survive. To keep turning my behind and pat it at him and tell him what to kiss. Sheesh. No, they don't like me. I wouldn't like myself either if I was them. Hello. So I looked at that and I thought, maybe it's something to these folks being afraid of me. And I got friends in high places, and you go and find out. They almost found out at one time. But we're going to get down to talking about the meat and the potatoes of six. I then turned on and looked at a face of a black man. Image, beautiful illustration of him. I knew who I was looking at right away. The greatest six that ever was. The greatest six to ever wear Boston green and play on the parquet floor. Bill Russell. And to see what Bill Russell, I told you about the article I read about him years ago and I had in my collection. And I always read again and again in a sports magazine how he said how he and his wife, when they first went to Boston, he thought that it would be all right for him to be there. They had offered him a position with the Globetrotters, big money. I think they offered, it gave Chamberlain hundreds of thousands of dollars to play. This is back then. And they was offering him the same thing. He did not take it. He went to play with Boston, the Boston Celtics. And he said that he and his wife, Rose, who he had just been married to just a few weeks, trying to find a place to stay and so forth. And just like my father said, on the railroad and traveling around the country for 50 years, and the Green Book, trying to find a place to stay, a place to eat, a place to flop. That's why they come up with the term the flop house. That no matter how much money he made, he still was an N-word. The same thing they did to Jackie Robinson. Jackie Robinson, Brad Ritchie, told him, say, look, you know you're not. Just like Mr. Bubbly told Dad, you know you're not what they call you. You know you're not coon. You know you're not boy. You know you got a name. But if they call you, you got to say yes, sir, if you want your job. Because if you don't, I'm going to let you go. He said, if you say yes, sir, don't talk back, don't cause trouble for you and for me and for the railroad. You'll have a job from now on. He said, I'll protect you because I'll make sure the son of a bitch won't ride again. And sheesh. That's what used to be said. It's good to have a white man in your corner. That used to say back home down south how the white man used to say to the black kids, he said, leave these folks alone. These are my N-words. They didn't belong to him. They weren't slaves. They didn't work on his plantation or his farm. But he spoke up for them. Say the good, they good people. Well, Mr. Six, I remember him saying that Bill Russell, the number that he wore, that they looked at him no more than an animal, a beast of burden. That's all the black athletes supposedly were. You're supposed to play as you were hurt. You're supposed to play low money while the white guys were making way more than you were, even though you were the team. And then if you go out with your wife and your children, they show you what you are. You can't come in the front here. You can't eat here. You can't sleep here. And eventually he let it be known. He said, look, I'm playing the game. He said, if we can't eat and can't sleep here, I tell you what, we're not going to play here. Sheesh. You know, just like Ray Charles, you remember that say, Brother Ray said that if you don't let an integrated crowd come in here to listen to my music, ain't nobody going to hear. Well, we're going to ban you from the South and we're going to sue you for every penny you got, and we're going to do this and do that, and then surely the police ain't going to let you half a minute of rest. And of course, he was on that smack, and they didn't. They went after him, but simply he took a stand, and that was Bill Russell, one of the sweetest basketball players. I told you I used to love that, and they talked about what I told you about the other day. Sunday, coming from Sunday school and church, Mama got that fried chicken frying and the potatoes, smothered potatoes and biscuits. Woo-hoo-hoo-hoo-wee! Macaroni and cheese. Daddy might be there. Daddy might be on his way to work. She fried him a whole chicken. So he has in his car because he had to drive from Michigan to drive to Chicago, Illinois. To get on the train to go wherever he was going many times, maybe like to Portland. Or to Tampa, or to Seattle, you know. And then, as I said, in between the time, nowhere to eat. So he had to eat out of cans. Now, I was talking about eating out of cans, and canned food and sardines. They had a special on another day about, that's a big thing now, eating sardines and eating canned food. Who do you think probably started that? The same one that started the mess about the mock mocks and the other thing. Mr. Larry Lamons. Yeah, I take credit for it because I had never heard anybody ever say anything about a can of pork and beans. I talked about how Pappy lived that life and he got me eating sardines and Vienna sausage. Cardi B showed that she had cases and cases of Vienna sausage. Never seen that much. Just see a can here and a can there. She went and got cases of it because she got that type of money. That no matter how much money she had, she enjoyed a good cracker and, weenie on it and maybe a little hot sauce. I don't know what was her poison she put on it, but she didn't have to be uppity in her own house. Sheesh. So Bill Russell couldn't go out and eat. His wife couldn't do anything. And they call him coon and boys and so forth. And told about how sweet it was to play against Wilt Chamberlain, the Stilt. Wilt the Stilt always gave you a name, a nickname, black people. Wilt the Stilt. Butter beans. You know, that type of thing. The Jet, Chet the Jet Walker. They talked about him. Chet the Jet Walker from here. All-Star. Hall of Famer. This guy was the first one that probably went from sports to Hollywood, just like Kobe did, and won numerous awards. We're going to talk about him one day. They don't even talk about him here locally. They want to kill all black good information, then have this yellow sucker running around slapping folks on the behind in public. But to have knowledge, they don't want you to have that knowledge. So here I am talking about that. And they was talking about how he became the player coach with Red Auerbach, wanted to quit the team after some years. And he told him, he said, look, you're the only man for this job. At that time, there were no black coaches ever to lead an American sports team other than in the Negro Leagues. Sheesh. Bill Russell came out. It was so prideful to sit there on Sunday and watch him come out on the floor. Player coach, number 6. Bill Russell, the same man that I didn't know had as much problems he did until I got that magazine article, but said that he'd drive around at night with his wife because they couldn't ride around in the day and just look at what they could have. They had the money for it. They showed a little house that he had, and it's something that Pappy House looked better, bigger than any house there. But see, he started winning championship for them even before the coaching. Won, 11 championships. Rings on all the fingers till he had to double up on fingers for rings. Sheesh. Rings don't lie. That means you are the best. And here all the great people, they're talking about how great this man was. Jerry West, Earl Pearl Monroe, Walt Frazier. I know those names. I know most of you don't. You lie and say you did, but that's fine too. Like you said, you knew who Elgin Baylor was. I guess you knew who Bill Bridges was and Jerry Lucas. But I looked at that and I thought, this man went through all that with a 6, won 11 rings, and then they finally gave him a day. The city where he was living in, the suburb of Boston, and his wife and his children. You deserve it, they said. After that, he and his wife went to look for a property outside of that area where they were living at. Because they were supposed to be big heroes, called a person called that, that's your day, you're the hero. Say, yeah, you can play here, but we don't want you to live here. Like the old saying, in word, don't let the sun catch you in the town. You know, don't let it go down and you're still here. Unless you are a maid, a nanny, a mammy, or something like that. But even if you're working in a company, a factory or so, you ain't supposed to be here. And that was even in the North. It wasn't even just in the South. I desegregated a lot of places around here, just myself. I ain't that old, and I didn't know anything about slavery other than what was in the history books. But they took his number and said, okay, Mr. Russell, we'll put it up there in the Raptors with the others. You know, with the people like the Tommy Heinsohns and the John Havlicek's and so forth. But he passed away last year, and they decided to retire to say that no player in the history of the NBA from now on can wear the number 6. It means just that much, how they mistreated him and abused him, scorned him, and talked about how he always had the wonderful laugh and chuckle. Did a special on that, so you know, you can hear him way off. He'd be laughing and chuckling. What a wonderful man to have known him personally. I didn't get a chance to know him personally because it keep us from each other. It keep us at each other's throats. Just like that young boy, having that young girl let him slap her on the behind and the black man pulling the pistol on him. We pulling the pistol on each other. We're not shaking each other's hands. We're not passing contracts and passing the fence and here, brother, put your John Hancock on here and let's make this money together. Ashish. We don't trust one another. We don't even love one another. I told you the other day about the black woman, supposedly 23, marrying a white guy, 85 years old. She want to have his baby. She will feel more kinship toward him than she do to a young black man. And you wonder, why? So you see that the first player coach, black player coach, was on the Celtics. Now you should be able to remember that in school or whatever. But watching the game the other day, the Super Bowl, to see two black quarterbacks on the field at the same time. You remember I told you earlier about black quarterbacks when I did a special on black quarterbacks and told you about them. How they didn't want any black players to ever become a quarterback because they didn't thought the main thing that they had the intelligence to lead men on the field. They didn't believe that many black men had the intelligence to lead men on the battlefield. So all of our regiments and so forth had a white man in front of it. He wasn't going to be the first to die most of the time, but he's the one who got the medals. Sheesh. So when I see Brother Hurt and Brother McMahon, and I said, wow, Michonne, I said, wow, you have made it so far. And I told you, and I thought about another one that they showed. Michael Vick, number 7 of the Philadelphia Eagles, who was ostracized for doing some of the most ignorant things that a black man can do, especially if you got money. If you got money, you ain't got no business throwing pennies at cracks in the sidewalk or throwing dice in the corner. Take your ass at least to the casino and roll them on the felt there, you know, in air condition. you can get you a highball and a cigar in your mouth with a VIP room to do something. But here you are having a dog battle, a dog fight. So no one else, I've heard zero people other than when they showed that he was there. Michael Vick. He put black quarterbacks behind a few years by showing that they weren't as qualified as white men to make good decisions. Well, that decision was made off of the field. It wasn't made on the field. But that's it. You know, another one they really didn't touch on. They had a commercial, and no one has spoke about this commercial. And that was Brother Mackey. And he said, they said, here he is, Captain America. I would have loved to see him come out in Captain America gear. They're playing patriotic music. It could have even been in the beginning. They should have paid for it to be probably the number one commercial there. Or the last. Those jets flying over with those women, all flying those jets, you know, just like I told you about a woman going to be on the landing on the moon with a person of color. Not too many people worried about those jets flying over there with just females in them. I guess they wouldn't care if they were all black in them or all Latino or all Asian. Hello. All Hispanic, let's put it that way too, because Latinas and so forth. But Brother Vic put himself in a bad situation, the rest of us make a bad decision. We can have people like Michael Vick making decisions like that for us, whether it's in politics or whether it's in football. No one else is willing to tell you these things but Larry Lamont's. Because I think about those things. When I see it, it makes me go, It's one of them moments. It's like contemplating. What could he have done if he had kept his nose clean, nose to the grindstone, as the saying goes, and that ball in the air? Could he have been in the Hall of Fame? Could he have beat every record of quarterbacks and so forth? He would always be remembered as that. That's why they didn't waste any time with him, other than say, there he is. He made it to the Eagles. He made it there. Played for what? 13 seasons, I think. But being primitive, not being a gentleman. When you get to be money like that, you're a gentleman. You got fine cars and so forth. Like Cardi B said, don't have to cook nothing. You got cooks and butlers and maids and nannies and everything. They're like the white folks got. You know, they showed that with Gump. When Gump went to the bayou to give Bubba, mother, the payment for Bubba Gump shrimp and so forth. And they were showing me to say that how all of the women members of the family of Bubba waited on white people. But after mother received that check from Gump and fell out, dog near dead herself to join her son, a white woman come to serve her gumbo or whatever it was. And fine a china, hey, serviceware. It ain't always as it seems, or what you want it to be. So when I looked at number six or number seven, or whatever number you had, how much they wanted to write Bill Russell out of history, just like they wrote Michael Vick out of history. Just like they wrote Larry Lamont's out of history. Like they're trying to write
Barack Obama out of history and Michelle Obama out of history. And they're going to do the same thing to Kamala Harris. They don't think no more highly of her than they do of the rest of us. Like we never came. We never occupied those spaces. And that's the way they were with me. When I looked at that high school yearbook and, you know, looking at the pictures, even looking at the pictures, they didn't have that many of me in there. But the picture that they did put in there is legendary. Everybody talks about it. Showed me in one of my costumes for playing an old man with my tuxedo on, mustache, my derby hat on. They could not pass that up. They know class when they see it. That was an Oscar winning performance. It won me the best actor, you know. Grover's Corners. Let me see. Grover's Corners, some of the oldest land in the world. We're very proud of that here. I left out some parts. I didn't want to do the whole soliloquy. But they are so quick to want to dismiss us. They couldn't dismiss Pappy. Pappy had been the top porter for years. Even handling presidents such as President FDR. Before they got Air Force One, they had the Ferdinand Magellan, the presidential car and train, and he worked on that because of his qualifications and his record. He kept his record clean, like Mr. Bubbly said. Didn't fight, didn't cuss, didn't get suspended. And it paid off for him. He was retired 20 years. They came to the house and contacted me and said they want to come. White man brought him a big certificate. Yes, they did. And helped to pay to bury him when he died. A legend. But they don't want you to know about him. You should not let him die. Even if you let me die without having my name known, let his be known. Because the history of the porters, now they're building a big museum and other things there and Pullman in order to commemorate not only George Pullman, but the black men they all called Georges, like my father. So when I hear about them doing away with Afro-American history, that's why I stopped dealing with history, black history, a month. I used to have every day something, especially on social media, to deal with African history. Some little tidbit that people didn't know about, such as a black man invented the traffic light. You know, the ironing board, the elevator. On and on and on and on. So they don't want you to know that I created social media. Or that I'm the hit guy that got this podcasting off the ground. You're not supposed to know that. I'm a troublemaker. And like John Lewis said, there's bad trouble and there's good trouble. And they didn't like me because I was good trouble. But I kept trouble on their behind so much until they always were looking behind them. Mashish. They was leading the way, but they know I was right on the hills. Even if I was strumming the flow, they thought I was poking around the corner and the blocks away because how could he be here and I'm running a race and I'm right there when he turned around, you know, I'm there. I saw This week on The Twilight Zone, Gordon Peele, Twilight Zone, they showed a white man kept looping in his mind about a black woman and so forth. I don't think that it should have ended the way that it should have ended. But this white man let her know, I control your life. It's me that got you even in existence by thinking you up. Mashish. And I would have loved to have seen at the end, not only that she started fighting him, but she had turned into a monster. And then the next day, when she saw him on the street, she winked her eye at him. And he knew what was going to come that night. A nightmare, and not a wet dream, as they think black women are. Hello. See, they don't like me to write, because that's the way I would write. That's what come out of my pen. That's why that man asked me, why are you against white folks? I'm not against white folks just to tell you what you done last summer. What? That's your history. Well, we're about ready to get out of here. Hope you have a good, blessed weekend. Hope you stay safe, stay warm. If you don't have to go out in the storm, wherever it's getting ready to storm, say gonna pick up, don't go out. Stay in. I ain't got nowhere to go. I went out the other day, caught hell from the folks out there trying to give me hell because they wanted to erase me from history, come back home and find the same thing. That's the way people are. That's the way people are always going to be. Whether it's against Pappy, whether it's against Mother, whether it's against myself, Michael Vick, Michonne, or Hurt, we all got to do that. You know, Bill Russell, that number up there in the rafters, his statue out in front of the arena. He didn't want a statue because he said that, like I told you before, that makes it seem like he's dead before he died. Probably the birds messing on it, as far as I'm concerned. But the thing is, he came this way, and no matter how they don't like it, they will always talk about number six. There will not be another one, not even a white six, to talk about. When you listen to House of Laird O'Mons, where you're always going to get a double help of the justice and truth. God bless you. Look forward to you. As Dad used to say about Reverend Cook, I don't care what you think about me, but I love you an awful lot. Sheesh.